than the one to shake with fear and wonder if you're even here. I've been the one to doubt your love, and I've told myself you're not enough. To try and see that I'll overcome by my own strength. And I've been the one to fall apart and start to question who you are. You're the one who conquers giants. You're the one who calls out kings. You set a destiny. You're the one who walks through fire. You stake your fence in. You are the one Messiah. Held down in chains beneath the weight of all my shame. I've been the one to believe that where I am, you cannot reach. You're the one who conquers giants. You're the one who calls out kings. You tell the testimony. You're the one who walks through fire. You stay the orphan's man. You are the one Messiah. You are I am. conquers giants. You're the one who calls out kings. You shut the mouth of lions. You tell the dead to breathe. You're the one who walks through fire. You take the orphan's hand. You are the one, Messiah. Hallelujah. 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 He shuts the mouth of lions. That's what keeps going through my head. He shuts the mouth of lions. You know, those lions, those are those lying spirits. They tell you that you will never be enough. They tell you that tomorrow's not going to be any different. They'll tell you it's always going to be like this. They'll tell you all those lies that we know are not true, because our God has given us the victory. He has conquered every giant, called out every king, shut the mouth of every lion, and he tells the dead to breathe. He walks through the fire and takes the orphan's hand. He is the one Messiah. He is I Am. He has shut the mouth of every lion. With it being New Year coming up, you know, I know that I hear it a lot in my life and in my mind and everything. You know, the voice of the enemy, the voice of that lion saying, you know, next year is not going to be any different. You know, what makes you think it will be? Well, because I know that every moment is different. I know that next year can be different. It's not just a new day is a new start, a new beginning. Every moment is a new start and a new beginning in Christ. Because God, the way that He works, He doesn't work by day to day. He doesn't work by year to year. He doesn't work by month to month. God works by moment by moment. It's so much more than that. You know, the moment is a tenth of a tenth of a second. That's what God works in. You know, the moment is, you know, we just went through 10,000 moments. You know, that's how God is. He does and works moment by moment. Praise God that every moment is a chance for a new beginning. Every moment is a chance for a new beginning. That He has shut the mouth of those lions. That they cannot have a say in our life, because God has the final say. Because God is the one that says you are victorious. God is the one that says you are more than a conqueror. God is the one that says you are covered by the blood of my Son. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. And what the enemy says is not true. And what you say about yourself, what your flesh says about yourself is not true. But what my Spirit says about you is true. And my Spirit says that you are my child. My Spirit says that you are blood-bought, born again. My Spirit says that you are not held down by anything. That's what God's saying. We are called by His name and not our own. We are called by His name and not our own. Oh, praise God. Praise God that every giant has fallen, that every mouth of the lion has been shut. Praise God that He is walking with us through every fire, through every valley, through every temptation. He walks with us through it all. And never leaves us, never forsakes us, never alone, never alone. Praise God. Praise God.
He left the 99 for me. He left the 99 for you. He leaves the 99 daily for every person. Knowing that one is so important. That one is so important. Just as important as the 99. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Very, very encouraging and words of exhortation, words that we need to consider very deeply and strongly and hide them in our heart. Amen. Glory. Don't you love to feel the presence of the Lord? Nothing like. I'm so thankful that we can abide with the Lord individually and in our private time. But there's something about when God's people come together. And we humble our hearts before Him and just worship Him and honor Him and just become enveloped one with another by Him in His Spirit. It's so precious. I never take it for granted. I'm so thankful for it. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to see each and every one of you this morning. It's always a blessing to be with people of like faith. I feel sorry for those who, and I pray for those just like you do, those who don't have a home church, don't have a maybe the opportunity, maybe physically they're not able to get out. And we need to always remember those that can't be in the house of the Lord because we're blessed. Amen. We have the health to be here, the freedom to be here, the opportunity. But I'm excited about the goodness of God. If you would, open up your Bibles to the epistle of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to start at verse number 5. I want to talk to you this morning. What's on my heart is, this is our last Sunday morning service of the year. And normally this message, I would preach it next Sunday. But it needs to be preached to close out this year to get us ready for the coming year. Amen. I want to talk to you about obstacles, opportunities, and overflow. Obstacles, opportunities, and overflow. And that's going to be 2019 in a nutshell. It's all how you and I look at the obstacle. It's all how we put Jesus above the obstacle to see the opportunity for Him to be glorified. And as we do that, you and I are going to come into overflow. Amen. God wants a group of people who can overflow because Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's a great power inside of every blood-bought believer. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let's start at verse number 5. When you're there, say amen. Paul, writing by the unction of the Holy Spirit to the church at Corinth, says, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia," Macedonia meaning extended land, "for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go." Think about that. That's an awesome statement. "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." That's a play on words. He said, "I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." Ephesus means permitted. And so notice what he said there in closing out verse number 7. "I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit." He said, "I will tarry at Ephesus. I will tarry at the permission of the Lord until Pentecost." Now notice verse number 9. This is where we're going to concentrate. Mark it down in your mind's eye, highlight it in your Bible. "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and they are many adversaries. For a great door, effectual, is open unto me, and they are many adversaries. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you that we brought you here. Father, I ask your blessing upon each person as they have made a special effort to come out of the house of the Lord this morning. I ask just for your spirit to anoint every heart and everything that would be an avenue of the enemy to bring misunderstanding, that would bring division, that would bring distraction. We bind it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you. We decree what your word says, that we have the mind of Christ, and there's going to be things revealed to us that I have not known, that it hasn't entered into the heart of man, but it comes by your spirit. We receive that today, and we thank you that you're preparing us as a group of people for this coming year to be successful like never before and to reach the lost, to bring your will into the hearts and lives of people. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, expecting and believing to receive. And we all say, amen, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to think about what he said. There was so much meat in these verses, but for the time that we've got, we're going to stick with this thought. Notice what he said. He said, for there is a great door, effectual, is open unto me, and they are many adversaries. And I believe with all of my heart that this year, 2019, is going to be, just as Paul is writing here about his trip, his missionary trip that's fixing to come up to Macedonia. And we know from the book of Acts what Paul encountered and what he went through. But he went through it for the glory of God. And he went through it not on the side of defeat, but on the side of success, on the side of victory. Amen? So this morning you are in a perfect place, a perfect opportunity in your walk with Jesus to hear the word of the Lord, to be set on fire from the inside out, and to what? To see every obstacle as an opportunity. And to take every obstacle in the opportunity of the Lord and allow it to become an overflow in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to mark this down. Write this down on the table of your heart. Every opposition that you're going to encounter in this coming year, the level of that opposition, there is going to be an equal level by the living God of opportunity for overflow. Now, you need to stand on that, because you're going to go through some seasons where you're going to have to stand strong in the faith that you've got. You're going to have to stand strong in what you know about Jesus Christ. Amen? You're going to have to stand strong in that. But I want you to be able to call that to remembrance and say, Lord, I remember before the year even started that you said in direct proportion that my overflow, my opportunity for overflow is going to be in retrospect of this obstacles that I'm facing. Amen. The obstacles of the Lord, that the Lord is going to defeat in your life. Better said, the obstacles that the enemy is going to place in your life, the defeating Jesus Christ has then overcome those. Amen. You've got to walk in his footsteps. You've got to believe that. So let's look at some things. Let's talk about this just for a minute. Notice what he said right here. He said, for a great door effectual is open unto me, and they are many adversaries. There are many things that would come against the plan and the will of God. Now, you and I, we know what 1 Peter 5:8 says. For your adversary. Come on. The devil is as a roaring lion. He is as that. And he's seeking whom he may devour. That means he can't devour everybody. He can only devour certain people who are on the place of his ground, on his territory. But you and I, we're under the covenant of the Almighty God. We're in a place by the blood of Jesus that a place of protection, a place of promise, a place of provision. And so when these obstacles come, they're going to come. They're going to come by the source of the devil. And they're going to come, and it's going to sound loud. It's going to sound that would try to create a fear in your life and my life. But you and I this morning, we know in whom we've trusted. We know in whom we believe. We believe and therefore we speak. Amen. We speak that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Jesus Christ is on the throne. He is our complete and total source. And because He overcame, you and I can overcome. Amen. And so what I want us to get down in our heart is we're looking to this coming year. Though no matter what we see in the natural, we know that God has got a plan. And God has got a plan to what? To bring in a harvest. He's got a plan to bring in those who are lost, to bring in those who have backslidden. He's got a plan to bless and to encourage and cause people to turn from darkness to light. There is a great light, and that great light is Jesus Christ and His blood-bought, blood-washed, Holy Spirit-inspired church. Say, that's me, amen? That's who we are. So they're going to have obstacles. I want us to understand this word right here where He talks about adversaries. Mark your place right here and turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's look at the same Greek word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think it'll help us to understand this word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4. Now, we know it's talking about the coming of the Lord. You get that in verse number 1. And it's talking about deception is going to be running to the point there's going to be a great falling away in verse number 3. But let's look at verse number 4. Talking about this man of sin, look what it says. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now this word opposeth is the same Greek word that we read in 1 Corinthians 16:9 about many adversaries. So we know that as that roaring lion, we're talking about Satan, we're talking about the man of sin, that he is the one who opposes God. He's the one that stands against Jesus Christ. He's the one that stands against the church of the living God. He stands against you and I. He is an obstacle. But everywhere that we look, all through Scripture, we looked at when Peter entertained obstacles, when Paul entertained obstacles, when all the apostles entertained obstacles, it was only an opportunity. An opportunity for Jesus Christ to be exalted, for their faith to grow, and for people to see through much tribulation, we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We're going to have persecution. Jesus Christ, He said in John 16:33, He said, be of good cheer. In this world you shall have tribulation. He said, but guess what? You can be of good cheer because you're going to overcome this world because I have overcome this world. Amen? That's our word. That's our message. That's our testimony. That's what we have to tell people. We have to tell them, listen, Jesus didn't say you wouldn't have problems. He said He would bring you through the problems. Amen? That's the God. That's the God that we serve that understands. He's the great high priest that knows how we feel. So this morning, we've got to be prepared for what's going to happen. Now, there's going to be obstacles in this coming year that you and I have never dreamed of. Because God is going to bless in this coming year in ways that we haven't seen since the early starting of the church. I believe with all of my heart, we're going to see signs and wonders. We're going to see miracles that are going to start to happen like they saw in the book of Acts. And we're going to ride out some more in the book of Acts by the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Because why do I say that? I say that because when you've got sin abounding so much in so many different areas, in so many different ways, when you've got our children under attack, not knowing what's right, not knowing what's wrong, because they're being led astray, they're being turned toward darkness, the grace of God is going to come upon the church. The grace of God is going to come upon His people. And that grace is going to anoint you and I and lift us up in a different realm to be able to meet these obstacles. And when we meet these obstacles head on in the name of the Lord, they're going to fall. Amen? They're going to turn into opportunities. Look at Paul. Paul's in a place, everything's out of his control. He's on a ship and he tried to tell them, don't go. Don't go. It's going to be to much harm, not only to your financial well-being, but it's going to be much harm to your physical well-being. Amen? He said, don't do it. They wouldn't listen. They had a plan. They had a mindset. The devil was going to kill Paul and keep Paul from going and fulfilling the will and the call of the Lord. But what happened in that great obstacle? There was a shipwreck. There was a shipwreck. And the hand of God moved in there and not one soul perished. Not one person died. And Paul ends up on an island, the island of Melita, and he walks on that island and the devil says, okay, I got one more shot at this to stop what is going to be done by God. And there's a what? There's a viper that comes out of the wood, out of the fire, attaches itself to Paul. And what does Paul do? He shakes it off in the fire by the power of the Holy Ghost. And now the opportunity, opportunity that would have never been there if there hadn't have been an obstacle. You're going to experience some obstacles in this next year, but you're not going to look at the obstacle. You're going to look at Jesus Christ. You're going to look at the opportunity to reach people who would otherwise you would never have an open door to, who otherwise would never believe you, but because they've seen what God has done in your life, how Jesus has put a wall between you and death, a wall between you and the very lack of the enemy of being able to destroy what God's going to do in you, they're going to say, I want to know about this Jesus. I want to know the person that you know in the way that you know him. And then I want to take him in the way that you know him. And I want to know him for myself in my own level, my own ability, my own understanding. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. This is what we've got. Yes, there is a roaring lion. Yes, there is a man of sin who opposes the things of God. But Jesus took care of that 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And you and I have got to keep our mind on that. We've got to focus on that. How do we do that? Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And let's reread verse number 9. Thank you so much, Sister Tori. Victoria, you do a great job. You always do. I'm thankful for you and your ministry. I'm thankful for that when Sister Kayla is here helping, she does a great job as well. Verse number 9. For a great door, effectual, is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, I want us to understand what Jesus said about these adversaries. Now, we've got to get ready for this coming year. There's going to be people who are going to have a mouth. Now, mark this down and write it on the table of your heart where you will not be hurt. Where you will let it flow off of you rather than come into your heart. They're going to have a mouth. They're going to have a speech. They're going to have an opinion. And they're going to want others to listen to their opinion about how they feel about you, your faith, and your God. That's not going to shake who you are. And that's not going to shake the love that you have. Because you don't love in human ability. You love supernaturally by the Holy Ghost. You love because Jesus said, you're my disciple. And because you're my disciple, all men are going to know because I'm going to put my love in your heart. A new commandment that Jesus gave us, and that new commandment, John 13:35, is there by the power of the Spirit of God, Romans 5:5, and it's not of you, not of me, but it's all of Him. Amen? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So, here we are. We know that there's going to be people who are going to come and try to bring persecution. Right now, we've got an opportunity to get ready to do what God would have us to do before the onslaught happens. But go with me to the Gospel of Luke. Hold your place here. We're going to come right back. Luke chapter 21. Let's look at the mouth of Jesus. Now, we could get into a great eschatological debate and we could miss the whole message. Now, I'll make this confession to you. I've sat in under some great sermons and by my first pastor, and I missed the whole message because I was arguing with him and doctrine. So let's don't get caught up in doctrine. Let's listen to the Word of God and let's stay in the context and the vein and the thought of the Holy Ghost right now. No matter what you believe about where this fits into the time frame, put that to the side and let's listen to this one thought. Luke 21, notice what Jesus says before the coming of the Lord what's going to happen. But he, for sake of time, start at verse 13. Luke 21:13. Jesus said, talking to his disciples, say, I'm a disciple. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Now mark that down in your Bible. Put your left hand on your heart. Put your right hand on your lip. Say, praise God, I'm a testimony for Jesus Christ. Oh man, that's power. That is power. It shall turn to you and I for a testimony. Now that means that you're going to have the ability, you're going to have the ability by the Holy Spirit to say what you normally couldn't say. You're going to speak out of your knowledge level. It's not what you know, it's what the Holy Ghost inside of you knows. Amen? All right, now stay with me. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, verse 14, not to meditate before what you shall answer. Because it's not about what you know. Verse 15. Notice what Jesus said. For I will give you a mouth. Come on, that's speech. That's speech. Every time God spoke, it created something. Amen? Come on now. I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Hallelujah. Speech with wisdom, which all your, mark it down, your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Come on now. That's a good place to shout. God Himself, Jesus Christ, said, I am going to give you something. I'm going to give you the ability to testify my word, my truth, in the midst of a situation. You say, well, these verses don't apply to me. Once again, the Word of God applies to us in different levels and different veins. And if we try to nitpick and cut out, we're going to have a Bible that's not holy, H-O-L-Y, but it's going to be holy, H-O-L-E, whatever. It's going to have holes in it. Amen? You can't cut out part of the Word of God. My point here is that if Jesus would do it for this group of people, regardless of what you believe, He'll do it for you and I. Amen? So here we are. We've got an adversary. We know the adversary is the devil. We know the devil has workers. Because our God is God, but He has workers. Alright. So here we are. That we got an adversary out there, and he's trying to create an obstacle. But the way that you and I are going to overcome the obstacle with an opportunity is we're not going to say what we're seeing, we're not going to say what we're feeling, but we're going to let the Spirit of God to come up inside of us and give us the words to say. We don't settle our hearts on what we're going to say. We'll miss God. If we get everything all planned out to the T, then when the Spirit of God tries to talk to you and I, we won't hear Him because we've done got a pattern. We've done got a parallel, and inside that parallel lines, we're saying this is the way it's going to be, and God may be 180 degrees around the other way. Amen? So here's the promise. Jesus said, in the toughest of times, I'm going to give you a mouth, and that mouth is going to be a mouth of wisdom. And I'm going to give you, He said, verse 13, a testimony. A testimony. What did Paul do? What did Peter do? Everywhere they went, they shared their testimony. Your testimony is an overcoming one. Your testimony is the one that I've been passed from death to life because I met a risen Savior. Amen? And that is how you and I are going to see the obstacles put down and see the opportunities arise. Do you believe that? We've got to believe it. Let's look at something. Hold your place still in 1 Corinthians, and let's go to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, 2 Samuel, turn there with me. 2 Samuel, chapter 22. Now, we don't have time, of course, to look at it, but I admonish you to study at your home study time. In this 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel, you've got David in a mess, as far as the world would say. As far as the enemy would say. And Saul is coming against David. You can also read of this in Psalms 18, I believe it is. But everything is going against David. But look what David says in verse 32 and 33. 2 Samuel 32, 22:32-33. For who is God save the Lord? That's what we need to say. Who's God except my God? There's no other. For the Lord is God. Amen? And there is none other. He said, who is a rock save our God? Who's my rock? Jesus. Jesus is the everlasting rock. I'm building my life upon Him. And He said in Luke 6 and Matthew 7, if I build my life upon the rock, it didn't matter what kind of storm come, my house ain't falling down. Amen? I am an overcomer. I'm a victorious one. That's who you are. And we're going to stand when everything else is still. The church of the living God is going to be standing. Amen? Jesus Christ is going to be exalted. Now, I want you to get verse 33. It says, God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. You don't have the CEV version on there, do you? Okay, I'm going to read it to you. You take my word for it till you get home, and then you look it up on the internet if you don't have this. I love the CE version. I wrote it down. The NET version. God is my strength and my power, and He maketh my way perfect. That's what it says in the King James. Here's what it says in this modern translation, and I like this. The one true God, okay, that fits. The one true God gives me strength. Amen? Amen? Okay, now notice this. He removes the obstacles in my way. He removes the obstacles in my way. That's saying the same thing. He maketh my way perfect, because that word perfect is complete. It's the same word. You remember when God was talking about Noah in Genesis 6:8, He finds grace. Noah finds grace. 6:9, it says, Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generations. That, in other words, his pedigree hadn't been touched by the influx of what happened in Genesis 6:1-2. Hadn't been touched. His bloodline was pure and clean. And so, this fits, but the one true God gives me strength. He removes the obstacles in my way. So here's the key. This is our testimony. This is how we overcome the obstacles. When you meet the first obstacle of this coming new year, you stand up and rejoice and you say, thank you, Lord, that you've sent me word ahead of time. I know this obstacle is just going to be an opportunity for overflow. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so I stand up and I say, the Lord, He is my God. He's my source of strength. The Lord is the one that I'm building my life upon. And He removes the obstacles out of my way. He makes my way perfect. Come on, when you pray the Word of God, you're praying the perfect will, the perfect plan of God. Amen? And when you pray it and you speak it forth, just as God creates, you're creating by saying what God says. Amen? Oh, glory. Come on now. David is in a mess. He's running for his life. Look at some of these things that has happened. Verse number 5, 2 Samuel 22:5. David said, when the waves of death come past me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Look what he says. When the sorrows of hell can pass me about, and the snares of death prevented me. This is obstacles. Obstacles. He said, I recognize that man is coming after me, but it's not really man. It's hell. It's the devil. He's coming after me with an agenda, and he's using my father-in-law against me. He's using the king that's against me. But I know that God has said that one day I'm going to be king. God has made me some promises. I've done been anointed. Come on now, you got to stand in your anointing regardless of what it looks like. You got to know what God has called you, where your office, what your place, what your calling is when the devil tries to say it's not yours. Come on, you didn't get it for yourself. God Himself gave it to you through your faith in Jesus. Amen? And you got to stand in that. I've got to stand in that. All right. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I admonish you, there's so much in this we won't take time to look at it. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians 16:9. Let's read our main text verse. For a great door, effectual, hallelujah, is open unto me. And there are many adversaries. Now let's think about this. We've got to look at what the way that Paul looked at it. Paul looked at it And he didn't concentrate on the adversaries. How many times in our life when trouble comes, we put the trouble first? Paul didn't do that. He, as a happenstance, mentioned the adversaries. The first thing he wanted to talk about was what God had done, what God was doing, and how that was going to take care of what the enemy was trying to do. Amen? Notice what he said. For a great door. This word great is from the same Greek word where we get our word mega. Mega. In other words, this megas in the Greek, it is a door that we cannot imagine. What is that door? It's an open door. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, Jesus tells the church there at Philadelphia, hey, I have placed before you an open door. Come on, Jesus Christ, He is that door. Amen? And when you and I got saved, we come under an open heaven. The devil tries to say, boy, you're going to have to pray harder. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that to try to find that place of open heaven. You found it when you met Jesus. Because Jesus is your way to the Father. He is your great high priest. He's my great high priest. It all comes in that holy of holies, in that throne room, in that throne of mercy. That's yours, that's mine. Amen? And so in this time of obstacles, we have the opportunity of overflow because we do like Paul says. When you meet the obstacle, don't put it first. Put the Word of God first. Put what Jesus has done first. Put what Jesus has told you you're going to do first. Put it in a very place where you can talk about it continually, openly, and it ministers not only to you, but all of those who will hear it. He said there is a what? A great door. Door. Effectual. This word effectual, it's powerful. It's active. Come on now. I don't want to hear so much, I thank God for it, what he done 50 years ago. But if you notice, if we live on our testimonies of the past, it's great to share them. It's great to talk about it and give God glory. But you and I need a testimony day by day, by day. What God done 50 years ago, praise God, thank God for it. What He done in my life when I got saved, what He done in my life when He filled with the Spirit, what He done in all those things are great and they're important. But what's He doing right now? I've got to keep myself in the moment. God's not the God of the dead. He's a God of the living. Amen? Come on. That's what He said about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus did, because they're not dead. They have a relationship with God that's going on moment by moment right now. Amen? And we don't want to live in the past. We want to use the past to help propel us to build our faith, to build other people's faith in the future. But we've got to talk about now. There is an effectual, powerful door, and it's great. It's mega. It's open right now. You've got a door. A door is a door of opportunity. And there may be obstacles standing around trying to keep you and I from being able to go through it. But because Christ is the door and He's done went through, we can go everywhere that He went. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, notice what He says here. He makes this statement. He says, for great is the door and effectual is opened unto me. Paul said it's not open to this brother or that brother, though it can be. But his confession was that it's open to me. See, so many times we think, boy, I'm so glad what God's doing in brother so-and-so's life or sister so-and-so's life. I sure wish He'd do it in my life. Why would you wish when you've got faith? Why would you think God would exclude you? He sent Jesus to the cross for you. Jesus wants to fellowship with you more than you want to fellowship with the closest person you have on this earth. He wants to talk to you about everything. So this door that is open, it's opened up to you. It's not about your Sunday school teacher or about your pastor or your best friend. It's about you. You. Amen? Now let's look at something I think that'll help us about how to get into overflow. Go with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 3. Now in 2 Kings chapter 3, we have Israel, and we don't have time to look at it, but we got Israel going through a lot of issues because of bad leadership. You know, the Bible tells us as the leader goes, so the country goes. Come on. In this third chapter, there's so much happening here. And it looks like it's all over. But they call for a prophet. In other words, they call for the word of God. And that's what you and I have got to do. In this year, we're going to have obstacles, but those obstacles are supposed to be opportunities of overflow. This is how we make sure that we get the overflow, okay? So you need to mark this chapter. You'll need it in this coming year, and you'll become very familiar with it. I believe it with all my heart. But for sake of time, look at starting at verse 14. They went and got Elisha, and 2 Kings 3 and 14. Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, there whom before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor near thee." He's talking to the king of Israel here, because the king of Israel has no respect for the word. But look what he says. Verse 15. "But now bring me a minstrel." But now bring me a minstrel. And it come to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. See, when you and I worship the Lord, and when our voices have been lifted to heaven, and there's anointed music, there's anointed words, and our hearts are humbled before Him, the Word comes. God speaks. The Spirit moves. Well, the Spirit is inside of you. Amen. Those rivers. You feel those rivers? My tummy's trembling right now. Come on now. You feel that? Hallelujah. "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Verse 16. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord." That's what we need. Amen. You don't need to hear what I say. You don't need to hear what the newspaper says, what the radio says, what the TV says, what the internet says. We need to know what "thus saith the Lord." Amen. But we got to do it. "Make this valley full of ditches." Oh, my, shana la baka ki te le katan. In this coming year, when you meet the enemy, it's going to be in the time when you feel like you're farthest away from the mountain of God. It's going to feel like when you're in the lowest part of your life. But the word of the Lord says in that deep area, dig just a little deeper. That makes no sense to us in the natural. When we feel so far and so low in the valley, all we can think about is climbing out to the mountain. But the answer in this situation is in the valley. The answer is in your ability to hear what God is saying and to stay put. Unless God tells you to move, don't move. And this is important, because you're going to be tempted the coming year to jump and run and to do something different. You stay where you're at, amen, and listen to the anointed word. Stay in the place of praise, where you can hear from God, and God's going to speak to you, and He's going to say, "Dig a ditch. Dig just a little bit deeper." Because you're going to find the answer in where you're at. In the place the devil tells you you're going to die, in the place the devil says you're going to be swallowed up, Jesus says you're going to find the answer. Amen? "For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast." Oh, glory. Come on, they're in a place where they need water, but they're in a place where they need victory. God says, "I'm going to take care of your natural, but I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to take care of your spiritual." That's what this is about. Now stay with me just a second. I'm going to let you go. Verse 18. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Glory. God says, I see what you need naturally. I'm going to take care of that if you'll dig the ditch. But also if you'll dig the ditch, I'm going to take care of you spiritually. Now listen, this coming year, this is very important, and you write it down where you'll know it, and you can receive and come under the same anointing that there is in this place right now. God's going to ask you to do something that makes no sense to the natural mind, to the carnal man. And He's going to ask you to do something that the world will talk you out of, that your best friend will talk you out of, but you're going to have to stand strong and say, no, on this day, starting from my year of 2019, I heard my God say, I was sitting in the place of anointing. I was sitting in my place of calling. I was at the right place at the right time, and God said for me to do it this way. And I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what the devil says. I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to dig just a little bit deeper, and I'm going to see my natural needs met, but I'm also going to see the spiritual need met, and the enemy that's against me is going to fall. Now notice what happens. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand, and ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree and stop all wells of water and mar every good piece of land with stones. Now wait just a second. We don't have time. We're going to drop down. Look what they done in obedience and what it caused. Verse 22. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. The sun shone upon the water. The sun shone upon the water. Get it in your spirit. The sun shone upon the water. The water came because they dug just a little bit deeper. They stayed in the place of obedience. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side. The Moabites saw the water on the other side as water? No. What did they see it as? As red as blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. What happened? Moab come to the spoil, and they were set up for defeat. Come on now. They lost everything. See, the devil doesn't see God's blessing the way the children of God see it. The devil can't see it. He don't understand it. He can't grasp it. He can't comprehend it. He don't know what our God's doing. He don't know how our God's doing it. But all I know is this morning you and I have an assurance that God is going to plan your victorious testimony in 2019, because you're going to overcome obstacles. He's going to give you opportunities, and it's going to come by the power of your mouth, by the willingness of your hands. And when you stay where you're supposed to be and you do what you're supposed to do, the enemy's going to fall, and every one of your needs will be met for the glory of God. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this time with this group of people. I thank you for your anointing this morning on our lives to be able to hear this word and to protect us, to push us into the place of having a vision of what you've promised. And 2019 will not be what the devil says. It will not be what the world says, but it'll be what thus saith the Lord. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Father, I ask right now that you take us and you move us deeper into your place to be able to receive all the riches that you would have for us, Father. Not for us to consume on our own selfishness, but for us to be able to reach those who are in need and to show the hand of a caring, loving God. Let it be, Father. I ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I want to close with this thought. This is a true story set back 500 years ago in Europe. There was a king, and he was curious to how his people would respond to obstacles in their life. And so the main road that he had built and maintained into town to where everyone in the whole country could come through, he decided to try an experiment. because he didn't think that the people understood the way, the road, the open door, the possibility of what they had. So he went and he had his men to take this huge stone and to put it in the narrow part of the road where the road come through a rock cavern where there's rocks on both sides, and he blocked off the road. And the king stood over out of sight, and he watched as some of his head men come, and there the road was blocked. And they looked at it, and they went, and they went the long way around the town. And you had all different classes of people that come trying to figure out what to do. Some of them, when they got to the rock that was in there, they started cursing the king. They started blaming the king. Yet, as all of these different groups and levels of people come, not one person put their hand to the stone. They just complained about it. And they made their way the long way around. All of a sudden, there was an older man. He was a peasant man, and he had worked hard, and he was taking the daily vegetables that he had gathered out of his garden. He was taking them to town to be able to make money and to be able to bless others. It was a twofold purpose. And as he walked up and as he come to this big stone, he looked at it. And he thought, oh my. But he recognized he had this long pole that he was carrying everything on across his shoulder. So he went and he laid down all of his merchandise and he unloaded everything off that pole. And he went and he stuck that pole in the ground. And with all of his strength, he said, Lord God, help me to be able to move this stone where others won't have to go the long way around, but they can go through in a direct way this door. With all of his might, he pulled down on that, and the stone slowly started inching. And he pushed that to the side, and he opened up the door. When he opened up the door and he looked, there on the ground was a leather pouch. Curious, he went and he bent over and he picked up the leather pouch. He opened it, and he pulled out a note, and the note was from the king. And he said, I just want to thank you for taking time out of your life and using your strength to remove this obstacle where my people can come into town. The most direct route. Enclosed is everything you'll ever need for the rest of your life. And in that leather bag, it was full of the king's gold coins. The reason why we don't have sometimes the things that we need is because we don't do what God would have us to do. Amen. The Bible says that the servant is worthy of his hire. You can't outgive God. When you put God first, you're going to find that everything you ever needed, ever dreamed of, has already been manifested and planned for your life. So in this coming year, be willing to put your hand to something. It's not going to be an obstacle. It's going to be an opportunity for the overflow of God to come through you, where others don't have to go the long way around. They can come straight to God through that door of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you come this morning? Would you come and make yourself an altar and say, Lord God, I hear this word. This word's for me this morning. I want to respond to it. And I want to be in the perfect place and position this coming year where nothing that the devil, nothing that the world would try to do to stop or hinder me, because I've done heard ahead of time what you've said. And I respond to it and I hide it in my heart. I write it myself, but the help of the Holy Ghost from the table of my heart. And I promise to walk in it and live in it. Would you come this morning? It'll forever change your life. I'm telling you, this is the year of destiny. And the only way you and I can fall is if we don't take heed to what thus saith the Lord. But if we'll take heed to it, it's going to be a year that's going to shock the world. It's going to cause people to see Jesus like they never saw Him before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.